Friends, welcome back to The Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job, and I'm here with Vic at VWeb, Jack at Jack Not John, and today we're going to be talking about the early week one start dubbed week zero of college football. Some NFL news, Justin Thomas's BMW championship victory, Jesus Christ, can we stop talking about golf already? And the final tournament remaining in the FedEx Cup playoffs. But first, boys, how the fuck are you? How's it hanging?
To the right? But yeah, honestly, I'm fucking full. You and I just took out that entire buffet at Whole Foods for about an hour and a half. We got lost in a bunch of aisles.
Yeah, and we spent a half hour perusing and landed on meatless meatballs. Yeah, that was a great choice.
Meatless meatballs and marinara. We didn't discuss how it was like that whole
alliteration. Meatless meatballs and marinara.
And then you went for the barbecue. And then we washed it down with some ice cream.
That was delicious.
Really adorable.
Don't tell my trainer.
Really adorable.
If he's listening.
We stopped at Mr. Softy, and you know I don't do great with dairy.
No.
So I'm feeling it a bit now, but Vic looks much better than I do.
You do, Vic. How the fuck are you?
You got a clean shirt on. You look great.
I don't know how clean it is, but
why is it dirty?
I don't know.
By the way, the elasticity around the neck looks a little loose.
It's, this is what we call worn out. It's seen its day in court. I'm trying to relive it.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
I'm partly wearing it because I'm still full from this incredible Italian meal I had Saturday night. It's old school Italian restaurant in Queens called Parkside.
Oof.
You think you've had Italian.
I've been there.
Think again. No, you have not.
I've been there multiple times in Corona, and there's a bocce ball court outside.
The first time ever, Ben's actually right.
Wait, you're still feeling it?
Did you have random food.
Did you have Corona ices after?
Didn't. I was too full.
You're still full.
I got to the point where I ate to like, you know, when you...
Death.
You've eaten too much and like you have to throw up.
But you're still feeling it, so I advise a shit. I advise you to smoke a cigarette.
Or did you pull trig or something?
I didn't have to pull anything.
What'd you eat for
naturally.
Three?
Dude, the portions there are insane. I went with one other person. You need to go with like 6 to 8 people. When they pour wine, they literally fill it to the brim. I mean, literally to the top of the cup.
You guys got wine. Wait.
Excuse me, you and another,
and you guys got wine. Are we going to hear about this?
They start
this
you off with this like incredible
Ooh,
bread
this
basket.
Sounds, hold on. This sounds romantic.
There is zero romance.
Da-na, da-na,
they start you off with this.
Da-na,
da-na, yeah,
keep coming. How'd you get
there? Probably going to have my wedding there.
There's a bocce ball.
You can take the subway thing, but took a car.
Ooh, high
class. You need
to
drive. There are some places you just
rich
have
boy. Hello,
we're having meatless meatballs and marinara, and our friend here is having bocce ball and Corona ice.
Oh yeah. Anyways, you got to get out there, Parkside, Queens. They got this great the guy who runs the whole like board. It's almost like Peter Luger's, like this massive board that no one can understand who's next up on the reservations.
Rides a horse.
Guy's wearing a tux.
Oh, guy's wearing a tux.
Velvet. And then there's some other guy at the bar just rambling, like half Italian, half English. I don't know what the hell it is. Drinking some limoncellos, what have you.
Yeah, that's the most American.
It's a vibe.
Limoncellos. I love a good limoncello.
I never had one, but it looked like one.
Limoncellos. They're really, really delicious. Well, this week we have some college football coming up. It's called week zero. It's very, I don't even really know what that means. You guys want to chime in week zero?
Well,
I understand it, but
it
should be an extension of week one.
I guess when you look on ESPN.com, it's under the week one, but it's week zero. It's a week before week one. So you got the Canes versus the Gators. We're about to you know, rough them up a little bit. And then you got the late game in the guys out west.
Really out west.
Is it in Hawaii?
It's in Honolulu.
By the way, you know what their team name is? The Rainbow Warriors.
Oh, you think we don't know?
You look a little caught off guard.
That's the midnight special, but we'll get into it. This week, we're opening with Miami versus Florida. University of Florida opens at a 7.5-point favorite. Beware the hook, folks. Over under of 47. This is no new rivalry. This is a very established rivalry in college football. A lot of history between the two programs. How much pressure is there week one to win this game? Vic, I'll start with you.
There's a ton of pressure, but I mean, for once, Miami's an underdog. You know, I was actually going through the time portal of this rivalry, and it used to be every year until 1987, and then they finally met in 2000 in the Sugar Bowl when Miami got snubbed, and they should have been in the national championship game.
Someone sounds bitter.
We
whooped them.
It was a good old-fashioned
That was over in NOLA.
These are the Ken Dorsey days in the Superdome. Ken Dorsey days, Butch Davis's last season coaching. I mean, the players who have been in these games, Devin Hester, Tim Tebow. I'm giving you college football greats, even though Devin Hester may make it into the Hall of Fame in the NFL. I don't know. Jeremy Shockey, Andre Johnson, the list goes on. Ed Reed, Vince Wilfork. I'm giving you all Miami guys because most of the Florida guys were just system guys. I'm not going to mention Rex Grossman, but I'll give him that right there. The Ron Zook days, Steve Spurrier. I go on and on. But here we are. And they're playing in Orlando, Camping World Stadium. I think there's more pressure on the Gators, who for once in this rivalry, with the exception of the Tim Tebow matchup in 2008, they are the favorite and in the top 10, whereas Miami is not even in the top 25 this year, understandably so. New coach Manny Diaz, there's the whole quarterback situation we got into. I think the pressure is on the Gators to get this win, start off hot. You know, these are the big games you got to win.
Jack, I know that you're dying to jump in, so I'll jump in right before you because I know that you're going to be all over the University of Miami wiener, as they say. I think that Florida dismantles them. If we remember last year, the televised opener, LSU-Miami, LSU spanked them in Cowboy Stadium. The University of Miami does not cover football games, folks. Please remember that they are the absolute complete reverse of the New England Patriots. You see a Patriots line, you're like, holy crap, I got to house that. You see a University of Miami line, you fade it until you make back all of your money. So yeah, I think that University of Florida takes this one. And the hook is weird. The 7.5 is bizarre, but I'm just going to say Florida wins.
Yeah, of course you will. I got the Canes in this one.
Oh, shocker.
It's a bit of a shocker. I agree with Vic. I think the pressure's all in the Gators. They're 7 in, I guess, what is this, the preseason college poll?
The AP top 25.
They're starting out at 7. Miami's unranked. And I think a lot of the buzz around Miami is some new fresh blood in Manny Diaz. And this time last week, Miami didn't have a starting quarterback yet. You know, you didn't know if it was going to be Tate, Jaren, or Perry. So I really don't think there's a lot of pressure on Miami. I think they're going to be playing some free football, you know, very, very alive, very loose. They're a bunch of young guys. They've got one senior on the offensive side of the ball. They're young. They might be a little inexperienced, but they're quick. They're strong in that defense. You're forgetting about that defense. That's a top 10 defense.
I get it. Turnover chain. And we all know. We get it. They went to a jeweler. They got a cool pendant.
Oh, yeah. And we got
something. All of a sudden.
And we got something brewing on the offensive side of the ball as well. But you got Dan Enos from University of Alabama. Some more fresh blood. And I think he's going to dial up some really crafty schemes. Yeah, I'm a huge Miami guy. So it might come across as me just going with Miami. But I think Felipe Franks, he's a little stale. He's a tall, athletic quarterback, but I think this defense will be able to get in their head, and that offensive line for Florida is too young to go against this defensive core. So I do have the Canes. The hook is a little scary, but I got the Canes by 8-10.
Yeah,
more than a tutty. Yeah,
the hook doesn't bother you. You have the plus.
Of course,
I got the plus. Of course,
and you could always do the old teaser, you know.
Oh, God.
It's the, you know, you dial back 6 points, you get 13.5, you get 53 on the under. I say you save from the points in this one. We have no idea what's going on. And part of that is, you know, you have Manny Diaz coming in. First game.
And Jaren's first game. It's a first for a bunch.
It's a first for a bunch.
It's also the first game of the season.
And for
the first for everyone.
It's the zero game.
I mean, it is the game, and we're going to get to the second one in the little, which I don't even know what the hell we're going to talk about there.
Don't jump the gun.
But the thing that I'm sort of focusing on is the new coaches that always come in to Miami, and there's been a few in the past, you know, 15 years or so since the reign that we all knew, the late 80s, early 90s, early 2000s.
Randy Shannon,
Al Golden. Yep. You think guys came Rick. In and a lot of hopes.
It's sort
of been
course.
Quiet. It's been a nice – the only real story that's been surrounding Manny Diaz is, one, the fact that he was going to leave and then came back.
He left.
And he left.
17 days.
Back. And two, is this quarterback – I mean, we'll call it a controversy, but it's been settled as of now unless there's some late scratch or – I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe he'll go with two quarterbacks. Nope. So I don't know what he's going to do. Apparently, Martell was out there in wide receiver in practice last week.
So Kiki might not leave him. He's playing.
Look, he's on the roster.
He's on the roster. He's listed as a quarterback, but I mean, you look at him and he looks like Berrios. He looks like Edelman. He looks like Amendola. Yeah, it might be a white thing, but.
it's always the scrappy guys. Wes Welker started the
chain. But he's super athletic. I mean,
and Wes Welker. Is
you know, Peyton looks like Eli. And Eli looks like Daniel Jones.
I look like everyone.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I think for once, Miami does not have a target on its back. Last year, the game against Dallas, I mean, the game in Dallas against LSU.
I think that's going to be big.
I think it was a top 10 match. I don't know what Miami was ranked last year when they went into that game.
I think we were 8 and LSU was 23.
LSU got no respect, even though they ended up falling off at the end of the season. What's the name of their coach? That hilarious guy. I'm forgetting his name.
Right. Coach O.
Coach O.
Ogeron.
Ogeron. Ed Ogeron.
Ed.
Ed Ogeron. He's got some hilarious facial expression. Amazing. Big Schwitzer. Big Schwitzer.
Big gumbo guy.
We're going to get him on here at one point.
He's a huge fan.
His face turns bright red. Look, this is another SEC matchup. And SEC is that smash mouth style football. And you better be ready for a hell of a dogfight. And that's why if you're going to bet anything in this game, I say you take the under. The under 47. I just said stay away from it, but I'm coming back. New coaches, new system, neutral field. We are starting week zero, 5 days before everybody else, most schools. This is going to be a defensive battle, and I think I'm pulling for the Canes. I really am. Manny Diaz and the boys, let's go get them.
In other news, College game day for Magic Kingdom now has no signs and no fans allowed. What the fuck is that? The only thing that you tune in to College game day to watch are the signs.
Yeah, definitely.
And the people behind and the heckling. I
agree. You look upset.
I'm furious. In the words Vic mentions me right before, blasphemy. It's blasphemy.
Well, now I'm really happy that I, you know, canceled my hotel and got back my money for the flight because I would have been there and I would have walked up with a sign face painted and it would have been like, where the fuck do you think you're going, crazy guy? Like, back to the parking lot.
Where do you think you're going, crazy guy? Yeah,
turn right around. You need to buy, like, a day pass or something, and you can't put up a sign. So it's just like the backdrop of Magic Kingdom. It's going to be the guys, Kirk and Lou and
Kirk and Lou.
Desmond, Reese Davis.
And Kirk.
By the way, love Bear. I'm so Bear.
Bear's only got
Where's
two
Bear
games.
Going to be? He's going to be like on the little bridge or right by.
He's
like
probably going to be at Epcot. That's what I think. Epcot's going to be slammed because Epcot you can drink. It's like that whole drink.
You think they're going to send Bear to Epcot?
I don't know.
What happens when what's his name puts on his helmet?
Lee Corso.
Yeah.
No,
but there's going to be nobody behind them cheering right. Or there's just nothing.
Maybe then they'll do a quick shift, like a little like. They'll swing the camera and go deep into the parking lot.
That's interesting. Maybe it's like a little Jurassic Parky, like where you have like a, you know what I mean? The word Parky sounds a little weird, but Jurassic Park. You have all of the Raptors fans in one area.
You're talking about the movie.
Oh, no, sorry. Like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
No, like the movie. Dinosaurs.
By the way, that stinks, though.
Yeah. No, it does.
But I get what you're saying. You got the game, which in this case is the guys at the desk, is detached from where the fans are.
Yep. What they really should do is they should be getting live feeds from like the tailgates like it should be a little bit more. If they're going to do this, then they should really invest in getting some great content from.
I'm sure
from
they
the
will. I think they understand that it sucks that there are no signs and no fans, and somehow they're going to incorporate. Maybe they'll have them in the parking lot. Like I could see them. I could see them going out into the parking lot and getting into it with the fans, not drinking, but I don't know, maybe
getting blackout,
maybe having a couple of White Claws with the boys. I don't know, some cornhole.
Yeah, wow, cornhole.
But I mean, it's going to be really intense. Like you're a little, you did join me at the Orange Bowl against Wisconsin, but this is a serious rivalry. I was at the last game in 2013. These teams do not like each other, as Vic said. This dates back to literally the 30s.
By the way, that's the reason why I fucking hate Miami football because I travel far and wide with my friend to watch them in the Orange Bowl.
It's one friend,
and they get fucking spanked.
And he definitely did not travel far and wide. He was there for let's give some context to that week. It was New Year's. You had nothing better to do. Jack's like, come on, you gotta come.
By the way,
game
I did drag him.
It's Wisconsin. It's the Orange Bowl.
He dragged me. You weren't there. You have no input.
I was watching here in 20-degree weather.
He actually tried to pull one of those moves. The viewer deserve to know. Jack likes to pull this move where it's him and somebody are going to a game, and he'll say, you know, why don't you join us? And to most people, that would be, oh, we'll get three tickets. No, why don't you just go get a ticket in a random seat, and maybe we'll run into you.
Or that he's already bought and has the extra ticket.
But it's not in the section.
Right.
I'm not cruel. I mean, you're making it sound like I'm dangling. Nah, the seat's taken. Like, it's spoken for. Like, for who, Jack? It's wide open. No. Like,
you're pretty cruel. It's like, hey, you know, I'm going to the game with my brother Paul. If you want to come, great. Sure, of course. Thanks, yeah, you're Jack. Sitting in section 30. We're in...
We're courtside. You're about... you're in the 300s.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, that was a day. But this rivalry is intense. It's going to be big, and I'm excited to see how they incorporate the fans into the game day.
And in case you need to make all of your money back because you lost it all, not listening to me, taking Miami, you have the Midnight Special. Arizona, Hawaii in, is it Honolulu?
Honolulu.
In Honolulu. Arizona opens at an 11-point favorite, the over-under of 73, because we know neither of those teams play any defense. Recently, Arizona has struggled. They went 5-7 last year in coach Kevin Sumlin's first year of his massive five-year, $15 million contract. Last year, their expectations were through the roof. What should they be this year? Vic, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why last year was through the roof.
It was that quarterback.
People gets Khalil Tate, and yeah. He's still there. And that is apparently what drove someone over there because he had success with Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M years ago. And by the way, the contract could have been bigger, except he had this absurd $10 million buyout provision with Texas A&M. Got all of it in 60 days after he left.
A&M has so much money,
oh yeah,
by the way.
Oh, yeah. And that was while they were securing Jimbo Fisher for 5 years, insane. $75 million. So or was it money. 7 years, 75, whatever the hell it was.
Pay the damn kids.
Pay the damn kids. You know what? Maybe not.
Whatever.
And
PTDK. So, pay the damn kids. So, took me a couple seconds. Pay the damn kids. PTDK.
So the expectations were high last year for a guy who has never coached on the West Coast except for a graduate assistant job. For the Washington State Cougars in 1990.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
I've got a guy. I got a West Coast. Know that? I got a Pac-12 guy. I got guys everywhere.
You've got a guy in Queens, and now you got a guy.
Folks, you will see it when college football's in its full freight, and I'm whipping out.
Oh, my God.
The Apple Cup, Washington State. And speaking of those two teams, you got them. You got Oregon.
Kevin Sumlin hasn't been on the West Coast since he had a piano recital at the age of six.
No, he spent Christmas out in a Los Angeles suburb in 2013.
So look, this is a coach still getting his bearings. Salver is looking, he's beside himself that I just whipped out that fact.
That was a great fact.
I think that expectations should be severely tempered. Tate can always go off. He's always in the Heisman watch, even though 10 guys are in the Heisman watch.
Everyone's in the Heisman watch.
Expectations should be very mild-mannered. They have these two. They have this game. I think they have like some random Northern Arizona, Battle of Arizona type of game. Then they get Texas Tech in week three. So you got to get off to a good start. You got the Rainbow Warriors with that air raid offense out in Honolulu. It should be fun. I'm taking the over in this one. I'm not even dabbling with the points. Go Rainbow Warriors.
So you haven't picked a team yet, and we're going to touch on that. Stop being a pussy and pick a damn team.
Come on, dude.
Jack, to you.
I'm actually taking the other side of that. I think there should be a lot of buzz around this Wildcat team. Sumlin has a year under his belt. What he did with Johnny Manziel, look at Johnny Manziel now. He's doing fucking insurance commercials. What he did over there made this guy electric in college football against much better teams. As you said, the Pac-12 is a little bit more open. You got Oregon, Stanford, but I think now that Khalil Tate, who suffered an injury last year, is back to being healthy, this kid's electric. He reminds you of Johnny Manziel, and against some worse defenses, he's gonna do some things, and I'm excited for this Arizona team, and really good for Kevin Sumlin to lock down that deal after being just like ousted at College Station.
Yeah, I just wonder who Soft's taking in this one.
He's taking the refs.
He's
hoping a nice clean
the
game.
The Zebras.
Good sturdy helmets.
The first thing that I'll say is that Arizona, if I remember correctly, they got off to a bad start, but then they lost to a Buffalo team that seemed like that was the worst loss of the year. When really Buffalo went on to have a really great surprising season. Nobody expected Buffalo to be nearly as good as they were. So I think that they kind of ran into some roadblocks in the beginning. I expect Arizona to have a much better year this year than they did last year. I do think that Tate is good. I think someone's a great coach, and I do expect some things out of them. That being said, with an over-under like 73 in Hawaii, I would take Hawaii plus 11 and the over in a game like that. There's never any – It's either week one, no scoring. Exactly as Vic said. It's either no scoring, the ground and pound, Florida type of game, Michigan type of game, LSU type of game, or the midnight in Hawaii, 73-point over-under. I think that's like a 90-point game.
With everyone watching, I mean, it's one of two games in week zero. It's not like it's that hidden game that's just on and nobody's watching. It's one of two college games to open up the 150th season of college football. I mean, I don't see it being in the 80s, in the high 70s. I like what you both are saying. It's going to be under, but I do like Sumlin and the guys.
It's actually
I think
because it actually is on CBS Sports Network, which is not CBS, which most people don't have. It might be hidden. It might not. I don't know if it's available on another channel.
It's not hidden. You just got to look.
For the record, we called the Midnight Special.
People use the guide.
During the season, folks, Hawaii is 6 hours back, which most people don't know. It's in its own time zone. This time it's actually at 10:30, so it's a nice little 4:30 start out there. You know, you get the the hell are they called? The things, that the necklaces that they give out in Hawaii?
The luau.
No, not the luau, the lays, like the chip.
Yeah. What?
The luau is the dance.
Luau is the place where you bring your lei.
I thought it was called something else.
No, it's a lei.
I instantly think forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
Like
Oh, 100%.
Like you say anything with an H, and I think.
Table for one.
Just you?
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, I mean, college football's fucking back, boys. And finally, this time next week, we'll have some football to dissect.
I honestly can't believe that we made it through the first 11 episodes.
12.
Talking about golf, women's soccer. I mean, God bless them. It's that what they did was unbelievable, but it's hard to talk about. We're so excited for college football, for the NFL. I think now's a great time to quickly plug that we're actually going to be releasing a second episode per week strictly dedicated to the NFL. It's going to be called The NFL Schwitz, releases Thursday mornings. We're so fucking pumped about it because we love football, and football's fucking back. How much do we love football?
Tailgate season, boys.
How much do we love football?
Tailgate season. You got White Claws.
You love the Claw.
I love Claws.
And black cherry only.
I can't do with black cherry.
That is my flavor.
I like watermelon.
I won't.
You know what it is?
I can't get to the lime's horrible. The groovy. The
groovy.
No, the ruby red grapefruit. Try saying that five times fast.
Groovy, groovy, groovy.
I'm not a fan
of
that one either.
Boys, two carbs.
Two carbs.
God, they should be paying us for this.
It's almost like Michelob. What is Michelob? Is that what
it is? It's two carbs?
Two carbs.
What is Michelob?
Are you kidding? I should be drinking
calories?
This at work.
Yes, you should. You'll get fired, but you should.
Hey, here's that deposition you want.
I think Michelob Ultra is like 80 calories. I was going to say 80 degrees.
What do you call it?
No, it's like 59
calories.
Or something.
Can you have some respect? It's a Mick Ultra.
I mean,
Michelob Ultra.
You got those Corona Premieres. Everyone's trying to get lower under 100
Lights,
calories.
Extra light. Miller Extra Light.
It's like when Oreos, and they released those little packs of the thin ones that were 100 calories. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but first they went up. Remember they did, let's patent these people up. Let's make it a whole sandwich.
Yeah, literally. But yeah, we're so pumped for football. I really can't wait. Some quick NFL hits from this week. The Jets key linebacker Avery Williamson suffers season-ending injury in preseason. Regardless of if you're a Jets fan or not, you need to be thinking to yourself, are starters supposed to be playing in this preseason that is a quarter of a season? It's pretty easy to get injured in four games. It's not like basketball where there's a couple of random games. You play against China. You know what I mean? Like, NBA preseason doesn't mean anything. NFL preseason, these guys go all out. Should starters be playing in the preseason? Jack, I'll go to you first.
I think what's different in NFL preseason than the NBA, other than the length, is that a lot of the guys playing in the NFL preseason, these guys are fighting for their lives. They're fighting for a contract. In the NBA, maybe you have a couple guys that, you know, are going to be in the G League, but these are guys going all out for a roster spot, and they're going against starters. I think the smartest thing the Jets did was immediately say Le'Veon Bell's not playing in the preseason, and, you know, start holding your guys out. Hold out Sam Darnold. The only bad could come of playing your starters. I really do think that. If you have a guy who needs a little burn, send him out there for a drive or two, but I think, you know, these defensive guys, it sucks, but they know one speed, and that one speed is 110%. They can't go half-ass. They're going at it, and it sucks that we lost the key guy because Williamson is an absolute beast, And I was excited to see how he'd pair up with, you know, this new core that we've developed over the offseason.
I mean, you know, I have a very strict stance on this because I'm always of the belief that
you're a believer
that college players should not always be rushing to the pros, especially the guys who could use a year of work. They are there, but then people say, well, what if you get injured in college? You know, the injury can happen anywhere, and it's a sad reality that especially these non-contact injuries, I mean, it could happen in practice. You could be stepping off the field, and you could just tear your meniscus.
Practice?
Obviously, you don't hope for these things, and you don't want to be telling players, hey, by the way, worry about the fact that something could go wrong at any time. I think the work is necessary. I mean, you start with OTAs, and I guess it's June or whatever, or maybe it's May. I'm not sure when it is. Then you move to the contact drills, and you're in full-on practice, and you get to preseason, and it's like, all right, we're not going to play the stars, but we're going to play everyone for one series. I mean, that one play, something could happen. I think they need the reps because there is that massive break between the Super Bowl and for everybody else who stopped playing a month and a half before that, until you finally get to the first week of September, week one. I don't say ban preseason. I think coaches need to figure something out. Adam Gase really, he took it on this one. He said, I shouldn't have had him. I don't know what he exactly said. It was in summer substance. It was, I shouldn't have had him out there. I'm taking this one. Put it on me.
Whatever he said, his eyes were bulging.
Yeah. I mean, his eyes are bulging. Nuts. Adam Gase, the robot with no emotion, the enigma, as I will call him. I don't know if Sav has any glaring thoughts on this one.
No, I think that if you have something to prove, you play in the preseason. If you don't have anything to prove, you shouldn't be playing in the preseason. These games don't matter. They don't matter at all. I wonder if you don't play, do you still get paid for them? Because I found out that you get paid for preseason games. So is that something that has to do with it? We should look into that. But for a young guy like an Avery Williamson, I don't think his contract is that great. So maybe it behooves him to play in these four games. I think it's an interesting thing to think about. But while we talk about injuries, we need to talk about Antonio Brown because the league, I'm sure that everybody knows this already, but the league has mandated that only certain helmets, which are supposed to work for everybody's head and prevent injuries, only those are allowed to be worn, and Antonio Brown wants to wear his old helmet. Many players have come out and said that they wish that they could wear their old helmet. Tom Brady said this. But in the end of the day, the NFL is trying to keep these players alive. The NFL understands that CTE is at an all-time high, and they're doing their best to prevent injury. So, like, I'm of the opinion that if you're Antonio Brown and you're a superstar, it doesn't matter what the fuck is on your head. It's not like they're changing your glove or they're changing, you should be able to catch a ball. You should be able to catch a ball. So, I mean, I open the floor to you guys. What's up with Antonio Brown? Is he going to play this year? He's been, like, saying that he could hold out because of this helmet issue. And is he justified with his issues with the helmet?
Well, initially, the whole helmet thing, he said it was a vision problem. So he said he was having problems seeing the ball, seeing the field in this new helmet. Then I heard Rosenhaus today, who said this is the same helmet he's played with since Pee Wee football all the way up, you know, through high school, Central Michigan, in Pittsburgh. I think the point you made that the NFL's interest is in keeping these players safe, healthy, and playing and on the field. I think at that point, if the guy wants to wear a less protective helmet, something that he's used to, it's on him. He's live. It's his fault. I mean,
but then the Raiders shouldn't be paying him the same amount of money.
But right now, there's a chance he doesn't play at all. Like, if he holds out, the Raiders would say, we got this guy. We're going to make our money back anyway on merchandise, on jerseys, on getting asses into those seats. I mean, this is a team without a fucking home right now. So I think if it comes down to that, which would honestly be a really bad look for AB, because there are over 2,000 other players that have all said, new helmet, no problem. And for him to be the one guy that's holding out, he's a stud, and he's been, what, a top two wide receiver the last 6 years? Maybe one. Yeah, maybe like him, Julio, Odell. I mean, you could go either way, but for him to be that diva and say, you know what, I might not even play because of this helmet fiasco, I think it's a bit of a low move. I think everybody's acclimating other wide receivers who are cutting across the field and with guys coming to take their head off. I think the fact that he can't you know, adjust is a bad look. But at the end of the day, if he wants to wear a less protective helmet, it's on him.
Dude, if you, it's like any other, and then Vic, I'll let you go. It's like any other job. We all have HPs at work, but your boss wants you to switch to MacBook Pros. You don't keep your HP. You switch to a MacBook Pro because you're making unbelievable amounts of money playing the game that you love. And this, if it's worse for you, like if it's less protective, that's one thing. But if it's a sentimental thing, wear your same jock strap since you were 4 years old that probably smells like garbage. I don't understand.
It feels like he's just.
I don't know if it'll fit at this point. Oh,
nice.
I mean, not that I want to go
Big
there.
Big Johnson.
If the same cups fit you that fit you at four at 30, good for you. God bless you. My
same pants. Good.
Very, very well endowed. I mean, the guy files a grievance at the NFL. He has this whole hearing, and you know, he gets a decision, and he says, you know, I don't agree with it. I'll accept it. I'll go out there and play. I think he is out there. He was practicing.
Then he didn't practice.
I think he's back out there now.
No, yesterday he
wasn't there. There's just so much. There's too much. Too many clouds with him. You had the feet with the cryotherapy. I actually saw a podiatrist last week for my foot problem. Everyone knows I have a foot problem here.
You thought you had frostbite too?
I mean, he hit my podiatrist reaction was. It's like, what an idiot.
But
like,
you had a sixth toe.
Not a sixth toe. I found out it was just a corn. And there's something with the bone, and I got to go in there. My podiatrist every 6 months get a little shaving off the side of my pinky toe. So
wait, you're growing corn and you're holding out on us? Oh, fuck yeah. You, man.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Mexican street corn.
We need to post a picture of those feet.
I mean,
that is
only if they're side by side with Antonio Brown's, because those. I mean, what idiot goes into cryotherapy with no shoes on?
I don't know who's
done cryotherapy.
Yeah, you haven't done cryotherapy. You're not in the NFL. What's your excuse for having crazy toes?
Crazy toes.
You know,
it's like a new bar video game. Like crazy taxi. Exactly. Crazy toes. Crazy.
Play with the toes.
My doctor said, give you 100 explanation. It's just, that's how you are. Most people have it. Some people don't.
What, a sixth toe?
No, it's not a sixth toe. It's a corn. It has to do with the bone structure. Apparently, you can have surgery, but you should avoid that at all costs, because then your toes are uneven, you club foot type of thing.
Look, in Yiddish, we call it a vulia. It's a nice, juicy, meaty, extra piece on the side.
Excess skin.
You know what a vulia is?
Foreskin. It's like a foreskin coming out of your pinky toe.
I guess.
But you keep calling it a corn isn't helping, by the way.
That's what it's called, corn with a K.
Corn with a K. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
nice.
Look, the bottom line is this is a guy, I think he's got six straight seasons with 90-plus catches.
100-plus.
100-plus catches.
Since who?
It's not.
Three.
You going to say Marvin two, Harrison? Is it Marvin
one.
Harrison?
Ah, you lose.
Brandon Marshall.
You didn't know it.
I didn't know.
Know it all, didn't know.
Look, there.
What do you know?
Even the great ones fall sometimes. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, I don't see him holding out. He's going to be out there. He's literally the lone bright spot for the Raiders besides that young kid they just drafted to be a running back. You know.
Me?
No, not you. Whoever that guy, I'm blanking on his name right now. They drafted him, I think, the third round or something, maybe first round. First round. I think it was the first round.
Jalen Richard, the Frenchman?
No. I think it was running back from LSU, though. No, is it Darius Geis?
No, he's in
Redskins.
Washington.
That's the Redskins. But we digress.
We digress. They need Antonio Brown. They need Antonio Brown. You know who else is needed? Ezekiel Elliott. And it seems like Jerry Jones doesn't think that he's needed, because Jerry said, Zeke who? What the fuck is going on with Ezekiel Elliott? The Dallas Cowboys can't win, or can they win without him? Look, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just going to say it again on record, because we don't know. Is it the offensive line, or is it the running back? The offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys is fucking good. So, to Jerry Jones's point, maybe if they get another running back in there, who's their backup running back?
Alfred Morris.
And I think they still have McFadden lined up.
By the way, Alfred Morris is a good running back.
I know, and he every year.
Oh, no,
it
they
seems
have that guy Jones something Jones.
No, it was Rod Smith.
Rod Smith.
I think he's on the Giants now.
Smith, Jones,
Alfred Morris is a good veteran running back. I don't think of course they'd be worse, but they're not so much worse. I think that this is a weird move by Jerry Jones, but maybe he has something.
Why are you doing that?
Maybe he has something up his sleeve. Maybe he's thinking that by him saying that, it'll pressure Zeke to come. I don't know. I throw it to you guys, but what's going on with Zeke?
Apparently, he's in the best shape he's been in since turning pro. The guy's chiseled. He's lost some excess body fat. He's down.
So he looks like me.
He looks like us. He could be sitting here. He's one of the guys. but yeah, apparently he's in tip-top shape and best shape of his life. And I think this is only bad for Jerry Jones to speak out when they're not close on a deal. It's like, what are you doing? This isn't like a third-tier running back. This is a guy who could command this dollar figure from every team in the league. It's not a guy you just let slip through your fingers. I don't care how good Alfred Morris is. The guy was run out of Washington. He's been the plug and play since Zeke got suspended, then hurt. I mean, you're Dallas. You're the most popular team in the league. You got to get the guy, you know, the face of the franchise, because as we were saying, Dak Prescott, not that good.
Yeah, they probably should have given the $40 million to Ezekiel Elliott instead of Dak Prescott.
But what do you think Zeke's saying? Zeke who? He hears Zeke who, and Dak's getting every penny that he's asking for.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Zeke, this will be his fourth season, right? We are in his fourth season. His average on a 16-game season, because there was the shortened one where he decided to keep appealing and reappealing, and he ruined my fantasy team and then ended up sitting out those six games he was suspended for. He just got those Vegas charges dismissed, though, so he's staying clear there. No suspensions coming, only holdouts, self-imposed. Per 16 games, he averages about 1,900 rushing yards. I mean, this is a guy you need on the field. He is unbelievable. His cuts, he is a three-down back, bell cow. You got to have him out there. I mean, this is the core. You got Prescott, you got Zeke, and you got Amari Cooper, and most teams would kill for that. And they're all under the age of 27, if I'm not mistaken. You got to get this settled, Jerry. And I know, you know, this goes back 25 years with the Emmitt Smith thing. You don't need an all-time rusher to win championships, but he ended up paying anyways. They won three Super Bowls, powerhouse. I don't know if that's when they decided to call them America's team. It comes from the 70s, the 80s. I don't get why they're America's team. The Patriots are America's team. Whatever the hell America's team even means. Does it mean you win?
You're fighting with yourself.
We're just looking at each other, letting you run.
I'm trying to understand why. I've been fighting this for years.
How is it America's team? Is it not?
America?
Who am I?
Where is America?
It's an internal battle with myself, because I'm thinking like, all right, Washington, D.C. is technically the capital of the United States. Not technically it is.
Oh my God.
You bring in Dallas. I don't know. Is it because they're cowboys and this country was built on cowboys? Or was it not?
No, it's because this is the NFL. It's Big Tex.
Yeah,
it's America's team.
It's Dallas. It's like
Dallas.
I don't understand.
It's the star. It's America.
And
you got 50 stars.
If you are America's team, you pay up. You know, you got to make money.
They are.
If you don't make money, you're a fucking douche.
They are. By the way, the thing, and I should digress on this point about the whole O-line thing, because Alfred Morris is not going to sell the same jerseys that Ezekiel Elliott's going to sell. Alfred Morris isn't going to fill the same seats, even though they've been sold out for probably the next 20 years anyway. Yeah. But the name recognition of an Ezekiel Elliott plus the talent of an Ezekiel Elliott definitely makes sense.
It's so fun to say. Let's be
Ezekiel
real.
Ezekiel Elliott.
It's so fun. Then you whip out Zeke, and it's like this guy's name starts with Z, and it's not Zach.
And then he's got
it's
the
dope.
Feed himself. You know, he's doing the whole little spoon
the
feed me.
By the way, he also
long.
Just turned 25. So Vic was right. They're all under 27. But he just turned 24. This guy
you
could
just
be my son.
24?
He could be my son.
Wow, same.
I think he's a late birthday. Well,
he does,
he
late
just
birthday.
24, yeah.
Yeah, he
came
he,
out of college, I guess, 3 years in, Ohio State.
July 22nd. Is that a Leo? Is he a Leo?
I'm not
Leo.
Sure that might
I'm not,
be the
I'm not much of an astrologer, so I'm sure Vic can tell you. Is he a Leo?
That might be the cutoff.
I think it's a little early.
Leo and
the one before.
I'm not sure.
You don't know? Wow.
Look, I could rattle off. Is Cancer in the mix there? I know Scorpio's in November.
Is Cancer in the mix? Yeah, it's a sign. I don't know if it's in the mix.
I don't know if it's a summer. I'm just saying, because the cutoff's like, usually like it's like 21st or 22nd of the month.
I don't know if I could trust you. You just found out D.C. was the capital of the United States.
And you
out.
Had that with an
I
internal
just,
battle.
I just chose to say technically when I knew it was the correct answer.
You were literally just fighting yourself.
For a question that was never asked.
God, is
that's,
it America's?
That's the broader
is
point.
Is America's team here? Is it there? Look, is it there?
It's an internal struggle.
Who am I?
Everybody's got one.
Everybody's got one. Speaking of America's team, according to Las Vegas Sportsbook, the most bets to win the Super Bowl this year are on the Bears and the Browns. I'd say thoughts, but widely, who are you picking, Victor? You have $1 million to put on one team to win the Super Bowl. Who are you betting?
I'm on the Saints this year. I mean, big time.
Jack, these are quick hits.
I said the Saints the other week. I'm going the Saints.
Patriots. No questions asked. Tom is on fire.
Well, they're the number one team that's favored. There's also a quick stat. Apparently, anytime the Bears ever make the playoffs, the next year, people are like racing to the sports book with trunks full of cash. Like, this has got to be their year.
And how do they do?
This has got to be their. Well, they haven't won the title since the 85 Bears with Mike Ditka.
I was going to say.
You tell me.
It's also important to note that when it says that the Bears and Browns are the most bet on teams
most
to win
tickets,
the Super Bowl,
well,
that
tickets.
Means most tickets.
So not so number.
That could be $1. No, that could be $1 on 1,000
people. Most money
is
with the Pats and the Chiefs.
There you go.
Okay, that's what I wanted to see.
And Chiefs are number three,
and,
by the way.
And we'll get into this on NFL Schwitz, but that's a lot of public versus sharp versus. There's a lot of things to consider in there, but that's just random Joes going to Vegas putting $5 on the Browns because they're popular.
It means nothing.
It means nothing.
But the intern has to really touch up the sheet. This is bullshit.
He doesn't. Yeah. No, but I need to clarify.
People, I know, but thank you. It's number, not notional.
People also betting on Baker Mayfield and Mitch Trubisky to win MVP. Side by side, is it the same guy who goes up there and says, I love the Browns, give me both?
That's pretty
mix and match.
It's definitely the same guys, and those are some of the worst bets I've ever heard in my life. The day that Mitchell Trubisky wins MVP...
He went from 200 to 1 to 50 to 1.
The day that Mitchell Trubisky wins MVP...
Could be this year.
What would you do? Hold on. What would you do?
I'd get a goatee, I have right now.
Could we get you to get a tattoo?
Like,
if Mitchell Trubisky
wins it this year,
not a tattoo. I'll get a nose ring.
Dye your hair.
A nose ring. I like that, but could it be the bull one?
I'll get a bull nose ring.
The
I'll wear
Alvin
it for a month.
Camara.
But you also have to cut your hair in a certain way. Like, so, I kind of want you to look like a human.
Basically a
bull.
Home makeover.
Yeah, fine. All right, cool.
It's a home makeover for you to be in a
Done.
Biker gang.
Done.
All right, cool.
Cool.
Can we get to golf yet? Please.
Do we have to?
I need to. I don't even play golf, and I can't stop.
Yeah, we get it. You read a book on golf. You know a lot about golf.
I'm fiending golf.
All right, fine.
It was too exciting.
Justin Thomas won the BMW Championship. What a time to be Justin Thomas. And now sits at number one in the weird FedEx Cup standings, because that last week, as we discussed, meant more than everything from every other week. And going into the final tournament of the playoffs, the Tour Championship, he's sitting on top. Justin Thomas had a career performance this week. Course record, 61 in the third round. Who do we think wins the FedEx Cup? As we all quickly check our sheets to see the odds.
Well, to win the FedEx Cup, you need to win this weekend.
Yes, because
that
of
is,
the weird
that
point
is how they've done it. It's a staggered scoring system, which they believe will
so cool.
clear things up for people. Because I guess it means wherever you are, that's where you are in the FedEx standings.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas will be starting with a whopping 10-stroke advantage. Second, who
but it's a 10-stroke advantage on somebody who's starting
right,
at par.
Right, so it basically so he's at minus 10. Patrick Cantlay is at minus 8. You had Kepka at minus 7. Reed at minus 6. Rory at minus 5. And then there's these, you know, 6 through 10 is the same amount of strokes. It's basically saying if you're not in the top 10, you've got a mountain to climb, and basically if you're in six, you already have a mountain to climb.
Who do you have winning?
I am sticking with the guy who I've...
The bionic arm?
First of all, it's the bionic ankle. And Tony Finau was right there this week with Patrick Cantlay, Jack's pick last week. I got to give him a shout-out.
Thank you.
It was a race between Matsuyama, yep. Patrick Cantlay, and Justin Thomas come Sunday. It was really exciting back and forth. Thomas almost hit one to the freeway. There were literally cars passing. And like the green monster of fences and golf stopped him and saved his ass. I'm going to stay with Koepka, although look out for Tony Finau. I don't know how the hell he's going to do it with a minus 3 advantage and Thomas at minus 10. But I'm going with Koepka. But look out for the bionic angle, Tony Finau.
I'm going to stick with Cantlay, who Vic gave me a ton of credit for picking last week. He was right there in the mix. He was probably the most solid player throughout the weekend. Thomas needed that 61 on Saturday to get him up there, but he was incredible watching him Sunday. I mean, he handled every pressure shot while Matsuyama just shit the bed. That guy's swing is horrific. It kind of looks like mine if I were swinging lefty, but I'm going with Cantlay, and not my sleeper, but a couple guys to watch out for starting at -4. I like John Rahm and Abraham Ancer, who the last two tournaments, he's been red hot. This guy's been right up there.
Going international there, Spain and Mexico.
You got it. So, but born in Texas, guy rides a horse, but he's got family in Mexico. So it's the whole Mexican-American connection.
Very nice.
It always comes full circle.
Yep, it does.
I've got Rory McIlroy. I think that since he absolutely shat the bed in his home country of Ireland
during the Open,
the guy has really turned it on. At 9-1, I think that he's just tasty enough to take. He can't take Justin Thomas because everybody knows that the favorite in golf is the worst to take. Brooks Koepka is amazing, and so just he's. I don't know.
I mean, what do you? My question with this.
Hold on, Ben's pants are just moist,
I had a little brain fart.
You just soiled yourself on Koepka. Oh God, he's so good.
He is. He's automatic.
He's automatic till he can't find the fairway, which is
he doesn't need.
Has been lately. I always just wonder for the guys who are. You know, because you make the top 30 here, you're guaranteed it's 400K. This year, the first place prize is 15 mil. That's not the purse, ladies and gentlemen. You get first place.
You are $15 million.
Up the ante this year. They are not screwing around.
Oh my
FedEx
God.
Is paying up. Number one shipping company. Always use FedEx. They take care. They handle with care. And I love FedEx.
But what can Brown do for you?
What? Apparently not enough. I mean, hey, who's the guy who's sponsored by UPS? I think it's Louis Oosthuizen.
UPS is what's his name? Lee Westwood.
I think it's a couple.
And he never wins anything.
Yeah,
he won like 2 weeks ago.
He's never won anything.
It's Oosthuizen. I mean, they both could have it.
Only the European.
I mean,
Open.
A couple of guys. Oh, have, yeah. You know, everyone's got Nike. But I mean,
sorry, Lee.
So you're guaranteed six figures. You've come this far. You've battled, or maybe you haven't battled because some of these guys have just catapulted up. I don't know what these guys are supposed to do, or you know, starting 10 strokes back or starting 9 strokes back, and you're almost praying for a collapse from the get-go. But it also begs the question of, is there an absurd amount of pressure now with Thomas with a 10-shot lead?
I think coming off of last week, I think Thomas will be able to handle this a little bit better than most guys, but I don't think it's the uphill climb that we're making it seem like, because this is a culmination of a whole season, these last three tournaments. I mean, these guys have put themselves in this position, rightfully so. It's not like they were just placed here. And additionally, some of these guys, it's the top 30. There's a reason these guys are here. We saw some guys collapse last week. We saw what Thomas needed to do on Saturday to get there. It's not like these guys are schlubs off the street.
You know, I guess the more and more I think about it, it makes sense. It's like if we had no what the PGA was doing was if we had no seeding in football. Like you have the Patriots winning the most games, and for whatever reason they're just starting off even.
Yeah.
Like if you're the best for
you should
the
have
whole
an
year,
advantage.
You should have an advantage. And I guess that the whole thing is that they should probably work on the scoring of the Masters and the Open and make them competitive with what's going on in these last three tournaments.
Saying because it's the Masters and the cachet and the green jacket and it being, you know, the most
any major
should be allocated and apportioned appropriately. Yeah, and I think this is the first year they're playing with this exact setup.
It.
Yeah, so they're toying with this. But what, as Victor kind of alluded to before, what this year allows these players to understand where they are at all times. Because before it was like, now I got to sit around and wait. Where do I stand? What's the point total? We got to calculate it when the last guy's off the course. Now they know from the get-go where they stand. It's just
and
Thomas
we know.
Start. Right. And we know.
We understand. It's not like, oh, there's 2,400 points. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Right. We understand where it all stands.
It was a bit difficult following along this weekend. It was awesome because all these guys are just trying to get into that 30 and under spot. But now we know where these guys sit at all times.
They did a pretty good job.
I think it's pretty good.
It's tough for Tiger, the guy who won the Tour Championship last year, but Justin Rose was the guy who won the FedEx Cup.
Exactly.
So the defending champ won't be out there. Tiger, you're in our hearts. You gave it a hell of a ride this weekend. What could have been if he played in the Northern Trust? You got to think about that. Was it an oblique strain? I don't know what it was.
Is it a disappointing season for Tiger?
No. I don't know. No, you know what? He got the Masters, which most people will remember.
For sure.
Golf savants like we are all of a sudden. And, you know, it'll be Saison out there. Lefty didn't make it. Phil Mickelson, God bless him. If you didn't see, his hotel got struck by lightning. He got escorted to the course in nothing but his socks and a pair of shorts. He had to go to the clubhouse, buy new things. He was in the gift shop. People were swarming him. Cameras all over the place.
Oh, my God.
And all he tweeted was, how about this for fun? I wake up, and I was on the top floor. Lightning strikes the hotel. I got nothing left. I'm out on the street in socks. He still made it.
Why was his bag in the hotel room?
I guess he just got it. He followed the He followed the true rule of forget everything, and you get the hell out of there.
He's a method actor.
He's method. Saying what was his
golf bag doing in the hotel room?
He didn't have to get clubs.
He tweeted, my golf bag is up in my hotel room.
Yeah.
He played with somebody else's clubs?
No, played with a pair of righties. He played with a righty set.
Oh, my God.
Maybe they don't even risk it.
Wow, that's something
else. I guess they don't risk it, so they carry it with them, but who would have thought that?
Or maybe there would be some tomfoolery. You leave it alone, somebody messes with your shaft. Tomfoolery. Somebody messes with your shaft, you know? Just some crazy tomfoolery. Speaking of tomfoolery, some crazy things can happen at tailgates, and we turned to our DM and asked all of you folks what your tailgate party essential is. And before we read in, I'd like to ask the boys. Vic, I'll turn to you first. What is your tailgate essential? One thing.
My thing is a mobile charger with dual slots, one that charges twice as fast, one for the iPhone, the other one for the Juul. Sometimes it's the micro USB for your other devices, whatever else you got going on there. You need that charger. I use one for my away bag. It's the best charger out there.
So you're rich. You're dope.
I mean, you know, whatever. You got to have that mobile charger because the truth is you got to be careful because once you whip it out, everybody's running to you.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's coming over. Just plug it in. Give me 2 seconds. Give me 2 seconds.
Let it just turn
Keep
on.
It to yourself.
Let it turn on.
It's like
Keep
everyone's
it
like
yourself.
Fiending for some
How
mobile charger.
How far we've come. Not like the old days.
That's a good one.
I'm so disappointed in you, though, because you're at a tailgate. Drop the fucking phone. Drop the phone.
I do it for the
you don't
people,
need
though.
I go. I mean, dating back, I still do it sometimes now, but it's always a 30 rack with me. I remember back in college days, waking up 7 a.m., headed over to 7-Eleven, 30 rack. Miller's.
Nice.
Give me that.
Good for you. You're
boys.
Only
Miller and you've gone from 30s of Miller's to White Claws. What does that say about your aging process?
Are you guys not sponsored by White Claws? Is this a solo gig?
This is a solo gig.
Wow, I'm sorry I took...
But a 30 rack of Miller's.
30 rack of Miller's. That's no shock to you. I mean, you've been over. It's 30 rack of Miller's.
Yeah, 30 Mac.
30. That's what it is. Give me a 30 Mac any day, all day. It, you know, shotgun, beer pong, throw it at your friend.
So I think that you guys are missing the mark.
Meat. Give me meat. Give me fresh.
No, I'm taking a step back. The tailgate essential is the grill. You need a grill. That is number one. Without a grill, without meats, without burgers, there's no fun. I could also go the other route, but we only went one.
Yeah, but exactly. Hold on. I want to fight you on this. But we went one.
Great.
So with a grill, you're not doing anything.
Yeah,
you're
I
just
am.
The guy
grilling my own arm.
You're just the guy who's like, anybody, bring your own meats. Like, come on. I'm that.
Yeah, I'm a mooch.
Which is a cool guy.
I'm a mooch. I got the grill. It's BYOM. Bring your own meat.
But wait, me, I'm there.
Coal,
I'm booze.
Does the coal and the fire come with the grill?
Yes.
Okay.
But the meat doesn't.
I just want to make sure, because if you need a coal guy and then you need a guy with like lighter fluid, then you
call really, Sway.
You've got a shell. You got like a Porsche with no engine in it.
I was watching Shark Tank last night, and they actually had a product that's called the Beer Blizzard that goes under your can of beer.
180 cup.
No, it's cool. It goes under your can of beer, and it's a
keeps
little
it
ice pack, and it keeps it cold.
That's incredible.
So right?
Like
I want 30 of them
like
for each of my 30
max.
It's a koozie 2-in-1.
Wasn't
you put it in your koozie, and it keeps the beer, because apparently a beer on a nice summer's day
What's
only stays warm. It's called
Beer Blizzard?
Beer Blizzard. And they,
is it like a little pack that you put under, the can?
Under the can. You know how the bottom of the can
is like
concave?
Rounded. Yeah.
Yep. Nice I mean, word. Rounded. What, did you never take physics? Concavity. It keeps, on a normal summer's day, you have 6 minutes before that beer becomes piss hot.
But you gotta drink the beer.
Totally. But this is for the casual sipper. With the Beer Blizzard, and again, folks, this is not an ad. Yeah. With the Beer Blizzard, 22 minutes.
Is it a little pack that you put under the beer, or is it a koozie?
It's a little pack.
Good.
And then you put the koozie under it as well.
Well,
you can't just have the little pack
by
itself.
Now you're just dressing up the beer, and it's going to look...
It's dressed.
It looks like a Barbie doll out
it's,
there.
It's dressed.
Drink the beer.
So some of our... some of our lovely followers chimed in. Kelly A.G. Yeeves.
That's my
White
call.
Claw.
Hell yeah.
White Claw. That is an essential for
For a 2019 tailgate.
Yeah, for a 2019 tailgate. That's great.
Soph, I know you're going to love this one. Sammy Bagel Jr., dips on dips on dips.
Oh,
love that.
I love a good dip.
Love that. It's good finger food. You know, you just...
Dips are good finger food?
By the way...
You just get a shmear of hummus on the index finger and...
Did you see me with the spicy mayo at Whole Foods? I mean, you grab your middle finger, you grab it with your left hand, you grab your right middle finger, and you dip it right into your dip of choice.
Yep.
You can't go wrong. Ranch, buffalo,
oh my
you
God.
Name it.
What is this? It's Melanie Rip. It's Melanie RP. Buffalo chicken dip.
I think that's just a cop out. I've never seen that dip.
What is that?
I mean, it's basically it's buffalo chicken with blue cheese. I think is what you go back.
Yeah, but is there chicken in the dip?
I think they're just.
I hope not.
There's protein in the dip.
I think it would just be the equivalent of ordering like a buffalo chicken sandwich and saying no bread.
That's so crazy.
Which I don't think
in it in dip form, like you put the chicken in a blender.
That sucks because it was probably blended months earlier. It's been sitting on the shelf. I came, I got it, I brought it to my steaming hot tailgate.
By the
with
way,
you on the grill.
Multiple people said it.
We've got some varied responses. Taryn 710. A 24, and I don't know what a 24 of. I don't know why you stop at 24. Don't say
razor to the 30.
Dr. Pepper and Fireball, that old DP Fireball
wow.
cinnamon on cinnamon combo. God bless you.
That
heart.
Sounds like a great combo.
I cannot. I'm sweating from just saying that. The sweat's in my eyeballs. Oh, my God, Dr. Pepper. I haven't seen that name in 25 years.
Alyssa M. has the right idea. I mean, she's going straight diapers. I feel her. Sometimes you lose control of, you know, where the
like
bladder is.
Adult diapers?
Bowels.
Like, depends?
Somebody else wrote adult diapers, and I do want to show them love. It is DD Pickles. Love the name. Can't stop. So I don't know if she's taking a dump in her pants or she's just, like, having too much fun drinking too much beer and White Claws that she's peeing her pants. But adult diaper, that's kind of like a nice fashion statement, too. I mean, maybe it looks good. Maybe you dress it up with a tank top, maybe a jersey. I don't know. Maybe she's winning the tailgate.
Brookie Fishy Face, I like this one. Red Bull, because Mormons can't drink alcohol. Shout out to all the Mormons.
Shout out to
our Mormon followers.
Yeah, BYU.
You're welcome in this community. You don't have to be an alcoholic to be a Schwitzer. I'll cheers a Red Bull with you anytime.
Give me them weak. Give me them young. Give me them old. Welcome to the Schwitzer community. All shapes and sizes.
That is lovely. It really is lovely.
Can't forget at Al Dodson, maybe it's AI Dodson, Al Dodson, Four Locos and Everclear. That is what we call Blackout Central. And God help you,
God.
Because Everclear, I'm pretty sure, is 90% alcohol.
I'd love to get a bio on that person.
And I wonder if that's the Four Loco, the old school style with the caffeine, or that's the new style.
What's the new style?
What's his name?
Without the caffeine. It's Al Dodson. I believe it's a female.
Yeah,
She. Al Dodson, please send, you know what? We'll send her a...
We got a thing of the kids.
No, we got a DM her.
Yeah, we'll send her the new bucket hat.
I mean,
yeah.
I didn't think Everclear was legal in this country.
Well, we'll send her the new tailgate, the Schwitz bucket hat.
We also got to invite her to. God, we're spilling the beans about everything.
All right.
Fine. I'll tell you guys, we're doing tailgates. Ugh, I spilled too much, though. For another time.
For the Schwitzers.
For now, friends, thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job. I'm here with...
Jack at Jack Not John.
Vic at V Web.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, you can follow us on Facebook. The Facebook group is called The Schwitzers. It's a private group. We are still accepting people. Super, super fun. You can follow us on Instagram at The Schwitz. And Jack, you have something to say?
Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. Yeah, we're doing that plug these days.
Yeah, rate, review, and subscribe, please. Anything to help our podcast, really.
Spread the love.
If you love it, let us know.
And if you're down in the Sunshine State, send us your tailgate setup. We want to see it this weekend.
Hell yeah.
Schwitz season!